is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, part of the Sunday pregame power-up here on the DraftKings Network each and every Sunday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, getting you set to go for all your NFL betting hearts and desires. We'll be here for all of the fans on Samsung TV, Zumo, also on the Roku channel, as well as the DraftKings Network. This is Femi Abebefe here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey here. And we are 1 hour away from Brent Musburger's countdown to kickoff. Brent Musburger from noon to 1 Eastern. We'll go ahead and get you set with your last hour to go ahead and jam those bets in before we have six games kicking off in the early window. But Michael, let's begin hour number two with a game that is in the late afternoon window. The Philadelphia Eagles wearing the Kelly Green unis once again, hosting the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Eagles hanging on as 3-point favorites. I say hanging on because there's been a lot of interest in Buffalo throughout the week. The total sitting at 48.5. I find this, I don't have a bet on this, Michael, but I find this the most fascinating betting game of the entire day.
Well, look, it's been 3.5 all week, pretty much. It jockeyed down. There was a tax on it. It went down to 3. I think it stays here. I don't think you get a 2.5 at all. Look, the Eagles, it's so funny about Philadelphia, right? Last year, all we did, me included, was complain they played a Gonzaga type schedule, which they did. Yeah. You know, they did. They play, and I want to, you know, Pat Summitt, the great basketball coach from the University of Tennessee, she had a great, great line. She said, if I can get this team to lose twice, I'll win a national championship. Mm. And what she wanted was she wanted teams to have to overcome adversity. She wanted it to happen, not a lot, twice. Mm-hmm. And by doing it twice, she felt like the residual effect, the compound effect of that would parlay them into a national championship scenario. Well, the Eagles have had this time and time again. They've won a lot of close games this year. They've had the ball, you know, the opponents have the ball with a chance to win it, starting with New England in that game. You know, Boutte doesn't get his feet in bounds. Dak Prescott's got 1st and 5 at the 6 and can't get it in the end zone. So, you know, I mean, you go back and forth. A lot of these games are right there. Kansas City can't make a catch. I mean, what's going to happen? So they are very tough. They know how to win. And when you compare the numbers, like you're sitting there saying, wait a minute, you know, Buffalo should play this pretty well. Buffalo averages 6 yards per play. They average more points per play. You know, they're able to have more success on third down than Philadelphia has had. Their red zone scoring is at a higher level than Philadelphia's red zone scoring. And then defensively, you know, pretty much they're fairly even. Buffalo's much better on third down defense. Philly's 43.1% on third down defense, which isn't good enough. And in the red zone, Buffalo is really good, only 47%, where the Eagles are at 62. So, but, and you know this, when Buffalo wins, Josh Allen is remarkable because of his games. He's had 61 career wins, 46 of them have been by more than 7 points. Rarely does he play in close games. So this is why, to me, this is Buffalo has to win. Philly's got San Francisco next week. Tough schedule, tough game. What's the effect of the Kansas City Monday night game? It's a scenario type situation. For me, Philly just finds ways to win games.
They do find ways to win games. And to your point, you mentioned how Buffalo, whenever they do play close games, like they don't play close games. They tend to just win games going away. The money line right now on the Bills is about +135. Like if you like the +3 or even the +3.5, like I hope you also grab some money line to go along with it here, because like if this is going to be Buffalo giving their A game, there's a chance that maybe they go ahead and pull off this short upset here on the road. But I just find this.
What is Buffalo's A game? I mean, like here's what I have a trouble with taking Buffalo here. Is Buffalo struggles against physical run teams. Mm-hmm. And Buffalo struggles against team that get from that they have to play from behind. And Philly can get the lead and Buffalo and Philly can be physical up front. Buffalo is it's going to be fascinating from the first play of this game. Will Buffalo line up in their nickel defense? Because that's what they usually are in. Mm. And if they line up in their nickel with Bernard in there at linebacker at 225 pounds against this physical front of Philly, and their willingness to run the football, I think it becomes a harder game for Buffalo. Now, if Buffalo gets the lead and can throw the football effectively against a secondary that you can attack, I think it's a different game. This game to me is a lot about who starts fast and who can get control of the game early to then play their style. If Buffalo has to play a different style, it won't work. Philly can play, usually they can go either way with this thing. Mm-hmm. And so McDermott comes back to Philly. You know, he got fired from the Eagles as a defense coordinator when Andy Reid was the coach there. So this is a personal moment for him.
Yeah, a little McDermott revenge game here against the Philadelphia Eagles organization. Josh Allen, oftentimes you don't see him in the role of as the underdog. It's usually when they go ahead and play the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead. But Allen is 11-5-1 against the spread as a road underdog in his career. Like, he's usually having to lay a lot of points. You're getting points with a quarterback of Josh Allen's caliber today here. But why I find this fascinating, Michael, is that I feel like there's two kind of competing kind of angles here with this game. Like, there's the one side that says, all right, Philadelphia, physical, X's and O's, probably favors the Eagles and what they're able to do, as they've been a really good team that's won a lot of close games, but they've found ways to win. And then there's the other side with Buffalo that has all the underlying metrics, all the DVOA, the EPA, all the stuff that suggests that Buffalo's offense is much better than we thought it was, or what they've been showing with all the turnovers and stuff. And like, you see the spot after Philly coming off of the big win against Kansas City, like, it feels like the sharp respected bettors are kind of playing the Buffalo angle of this, of saying bad spot for Philly, Bills are better than what they've shown so far. I just don't know if I can go ahead and buy that after just 1 week of them beating up the New York Jets. Like, we all saw the Jets and what they've been doing. Like, it's been horrendous on their side of the ball, offensively and defensively, probably overrated as well, to where I want to see more from Buffalo before I go ahead and back them in this spot against this caliber of a team.
Well, I mean, Femi, you're running out of games to say, take a peek at guy. I mean, you got to make a call. I mean, you know, I think it's all about the matchup. I think this is a hard matchup for Buffalo, because I think Buffalo will have a hard time blocking this front. I mean, look, when Buffalo plays against a good front, New England's front gave them trouble. But what happened in the New England game? If you go through and really study, you know, if you study these games, right, and you study what's going on and see how it works, when Buffalo has to play from behind, in Jacksonville, they had to play from behind. That didn't work out for them, right? New England, they played from behind. They caught up to New England, but again, it didn't work out for them. The Jets, they were able to stay attached to the Jets. That worked out. The Giants, they should have lost that game because they played from behind the whole game with Tyrod Taylor. The Bengals played from behind. I mean, Zach Taylor took the ball first to play from in front. You know, Denver played from in front, got turnovers. So this, to me, is all about Buffalo has to play from in front. They did against the Jets. They forced four turnovers. Think about this now. This Buffalo defense has only forced, since playing the Jets, before playing the Jets, they've only forced two turnovers in the last 6 weeks. They haven't turned the ball over. They haven't gotten pressure on the quarterback. Like, this Bills defense is a complimentary nickel defense. When it got to go toe-to-toe with you, it's not the same defense. So Philly's going to make them stay in the center. They're going to put them on the ropes and pound them a little bit.
Last thing for me on this game here before we get to the NFC West showdown between the Rams and the Cardinals. If the Bills are able to win this game, do they join like the contending teams, whether it's Kansas City, Baltimore, Miami, when we talk about who can potentially represent the AFC in the Super Bowl? Like, do you start to think about Buffalo as maybe the most dangerous team in the AFC if they can win this? Okay,
I don't. Okay. I don't, because I think Buffalo has to play a style. Gotcha. Buffalo's a style team. They've got to play a certain style. They're not as good as their numbers suggest they are on defense. They're just not. I mean, you know, I get the fact that they beat the Jets and Zach Wilson and held them to 155 yards. Mm-hmm. But we saw Trevor Lawrence throw for 278 against them. We saw Mac Jones throw for 268 against them.
Yeah.
Right? We saw Burrow throw for 343 against them. You know, but when they lost Milano, their safeties aren't as good. They're older on defense. They don't rush the passer nearly as effectively as you think they could. Think about this, Femi. They are, you know, and then on the ground, you can run the ball. Teams can't run the ball against them because they get behind. They're ninth in facing runs this year, ninth. They're 29th in allowing yards per attempt. What does that tell us? That tells us they play from in front. Mm-hmm. So the teams can't run the football, you know, and they can't run it. All I know is Hurts is 16-1 straight up as a favorite coming into Philadelphia.
Yeah. And I mean, to kind of put it simply, this feels like one team that knows how to win games and another team that turns the ball over and does things to kind of make themselves shoot themselves in the foot, I guess, if you will, there. So I think if I had to bet it, I'm not betting the game. If I had to bet it, I think I'd try to find the best price on Philadelphia, laying that three at even money or something like that. Like, I think I'm very skeptical of the Buffalo Bills, but the betting market loves the Bills in this spot here. I can't wait to see how it unfolds. How about in the desert? I think this is a game that both of us like here. The Rams taking on the Arizona Cardinals. The consensus number is 2.5, but we are quickly going to 3 across the board with the Rams as the road favorite, as the total sitting at 45.5.
Well, look, the Rams won the first game 26-9 with Josh Dobbs, the quarterback. They gained 382 yards, and they had their best rushing day of 179 on the ground. When Sean McVay can call running plays and they work, he's a really good offensive coach. They can move the football, and it takes a lot of the pressure off of Matthew Stafford. Look, the reason I like this game is because the Cards are kind of depleted defensively. They weren't very good defensively to begin with. They lost two more starters. You know, their pressure rate is 30th in the National Football League. They allow the most first downs of any team in the National Football League. They give up, the opponent has the success rate of a 31%. You get into this situation, and I think it favors the Rams. And then you say, well, they have Kyler Murray. Well, Raheem Morris has played Kyler Murray before, right? He understands how to play Kyler Murray. You know, you can't let him run around. You got to keep him in the pocket, and the Rams do that very well.
Yeah, I like the Rams in this spot here. I bet this earlier in the week. If you could still find a 2.5, I would lay the Rams there. I think they go ahead and get this one. And also, Cooper Kupp is healthy for now. So they got Cooper Kupp back, as well as Puka Nacua, Stafford. I think he should be able to carve up this Cardinals defense. We will get to the game in Vegas coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly, be 21. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi here on this Sunday of Week 12 in the National Football League. And we'll continue our preview of these games in the afternoon slate. We have the Las Vegas Raiders hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are 9-point road favorites at DraftKings, total 42.5. Where I'm sitting here at Circa in downtown Las Vegas, Michael, we're down to 8.5 there for the Kansas City Chiefs, with the indication being that Max Crosby, who was listed as doubtful earlier in the week, is pushing to play. We'll see. He's likely a game time decision.
Well, look, when you look at the Raiders and you saw what they did last week, they were resilient against Miami. They turned the ball over and they were able to keep themselves in the game with an opportunity to make a few plays if they could have with their passing game down the stretch, but they just couldn't. They didn't have enough to get it done. The offensive line struggled without Colton Miller at left tackle. We're not sure if he's going to play today. You know, he was limited all week. He's listed as questionable with the shoulder. Spillane, their starting linebacker, is questionable with an ankle. Marcus Ebbs, their safety, questionable with the neck. You know, so they've got some beat up guys here, and that's a little bit of an issue. And when you look at the Chiefs, you know, everybody focuses on their offense. Great. Their offense is struggling. They can't score very many points. They've had a hard time, but their defense is really dominating. And I just have a hard time seeing how this defense is going, the Raiders are going to be able to effectively move the ball. It goes back to the Jake Browning conversation against with Cincinnati. How is he going to carry the load if they can't run it? How is Aiden O'Connell going to carry the load against a team that's very, very good up front with Chris Jones? I mean, remember the game last year at the end of the season?
Yep.
It was, you know, Chris Jones just after the Raiders played pretty well against, you know, they had San Francisco on the ropes, had a chance to beat them, and they couldn't do it. And in comes Kansas City in the last game of the year. And, you know, and they played Kansas City really well in Kansas, had a chance to win that game, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and this obviously was Jarrett Stidham's last game, and it was dominated 31-13 by the Chiefs. I think that's kind of, it's going to be, how are the Raiders going to score? They're going to need help from the Chiefs. They're going to need the Chiefs to turn the ball over. And without Crosby creating the pressure, where does that come from? Where does that come from? Look, the Chiefs have issues, but typically the issues aren't going to show up against a zone concept team like the Raiders are going to play, because the Raiders don't want to give up a big play. The Raiders want to slow the game down, get it to the fourth quarter.
Yeah, sounds like a very efficient game for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe some Mahomes over completion props there if they're going to sit back in zone coverage and let him kind of pick them apart there. You mentioned it, though, with the Kansas City Chiefs on offense, like they've had their struggles. They do have injuries on that side of the ball as well. Kadarius Toney, who is kind of like a gadget player and punt returner at this point in his career. But Mecole Hardman also out. Jerick McKinnon out as well here for KC. Do you think the KC, because we talked about this on the GM Shuffle on Thursday when we kind of broke down that Eagles-Chiefs game, the issues that they have offensively, are these correctable, or is it kind of a personnel thing of, hey, they just don't have guys on the outside who can win one-on-ones, and it's just kind of they got to go ahead and try to find Kelce, or they're going to go ahead and struggle?
Well, people are taking away Kelce. They won't have McKinnon today either. I mean, not having Toney, does it really hurt him? He averages 6.3 yards a catch.
Yeah. I mean, he barely,
you know, the guy they're counting on is Sky Moore. I mean, he can't do anything. Sky Moore has really struggled. He's really struggled to play. Rashid Rice was showing up, and it looked like he was going to take that step forward. They bring Mecole Hardman in. They had to put him on IR because he's not ready to, you know, he's not ready. Justin Watson is a guy that Mahomes trusts. He really trusts him, you know, but his catch percentage is 52.8. You know, I mean, Marquez Valdez-Scantling's 51.9. I mean, the problem is last year, Mahomes had 33 drops the entire season. This year, he's got 28 already. They don't catch the ball. Mahomes is throwing the ball with more accuracy, more on time than ever. And eventually, he's going to break out, and they're going to play against a team that's not as good on defense. I think this is really not going to be Kansas City's going to be great offensively. Just think the level of comp with this Raiders' talent level on defense is going to be an issue.
Yeah, I like the Kansas City Chiefs in this game here. Anything under 10, I think, is a bet here for Kansas City. The Crosby injury, even if he does play, like what percentage is Max Crosby going to be dealing with this knee injury that had him at doubtful? I mean, Max Crosby, hell of a player. I love watching him play. But if he's 60, 70%, like that's not going to be good enough in this game. Like they need
him. No, I mean, and he was last week. I mean, he was hurt last week and he couldn't really, he didn't affect the game last week. And unfortunately, you know, and look, this is sometimes what I've learned in this industry of handicapping games is sometimes you're right on the handicap, you're wrong on the result. I think last week, if you took the Raiders and you laid the 13.5, you won, but don't pat yourself on the back because it really was a game where the three turnovers and the lost downs that won the game. I mean, Miami should have had 31 points in the game. Mm-hmm. They should have. They didn't. You know, Miami turned it over three times. So did the Raiders. And it's a 7-point game.
Well, let's get to a game that's expected to be really competitive and low scoring in the Rocky Mountains. The Browns taking on the Denver Broncos. This will be the first road start for Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the rookie out of UCLA. Denver right now, a 1.5-point favorite at home, total 37.5. And this is just feels like another one of those games where it's take the points, it's grind it out and see who makes the play in the fourth quarter.
I mean, look, this is funny. This is a game where everybody's on the Browns. I mean, there's so many of the sharp players on the Browns. I don't see it. I really don't. Look, I get the Browns are good on defense. I mean, they've allowed the third fewest passing yards through 10 games since 1990. I mean, so they're really good. I mean, and Russell Wilson, but Sean Payton's a good coach. He knows his team. Hard to run the ball on Jim Schwartz's defense. We get that. But you're taking a rookie into Mile High. You know, and quarterbacks in their first year going into Mile High Stadium in the altitude are 5-18-1. Now, look, I made this mistake in week two. I took the Broncos against Washington and Sam Howell lit them up, right? Mm-hmm. He was great in that game. They got up to a big lead and he did it. I think it's a different story. Once they're so one-dimensional, Cleveland, how are they going to be able to handle, you know, the pressure? He's going to have to make some throws in the game. And what I love, you know, it's funny. The Broncos, since their travesty down in Miami, they're one of the better defenses in the league. They're 12th in EPA yards allowed. So they've played really well defensively over the last month of the season. I think this is going to be a really hard game for Cleveland to move the ball. It could be a 13-10 game. The one thing I do know about Denver is he's not turning down the points. I mean, you know, if you were to guess who is the teams with the least amount of fourth down attempts in the National Football League, right? It's San Francisco, Baltimore, and the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
I mean, Lutz has made he's 22 out of 24 on kicks. They're not turning down points. They are not turning down points.
And I think honestly, because of that, and because this is expected to be a lower scoring game, I would imagine a lot of field goals. I think this is one of those spots where maybe you just, if you like Denver, you bet the money line at minus 125 and you don't, because like this game lands one more often than other games land one. To me, it feels like I could easily see 17,
yeah, like
16.
Last week.
Like last week,
like
exactly.
Last week, yeah.
Like I was somebody who laid 2.5 and I'm like, well, here it comes down to the 2-point conversion. And of course, we saw how that went. But like this feels like it's probably just Denver money line. And yes, it's a bigger price to pay minus 125 versus minus 110, but you'll feel more comfortable, I feel like. Just like,
well, think about this, though, Femi. I mean, they've held Minnesota to 20. They've held Buffalo to 22. They've held Kansas City to 9. Now, they got a bunch of turnovers against Kansas City. They have forced 12 turnovers in the last 3 weeks, right? They held Green Bay to 17. Now, I know Green Bay's not great. They held Kansas City in Kansas City to 19.
Yeah.
You know, so the last 5 weeks, it's been hard to score on them. So it's going to be a game where one play here or there, if Myles Garrett gets a strip sack, Russell Wilson has to be careful with the football. That's going to be the key to the game. And look, that's the one thing they've done since the Kansas City game in Kansas City. They protected the ball. They've only had 2 turnovers in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, protect the ball and put Dorian Thompson-Robinson in uncomfortable positions, and maybe Denver can win this game. I'll be rooting for Denver. I have a Denver plus 525 ticket to make the playoffs, so that's where my heart lies in this game here with the Denver Broncos and the Rocky Mountains. Let's squeeze this quick one in here. The AFC South game between the Tennessee Titans taking on the Carolina Panthers right now. Tennessee, 3.5-point favorites, total 36. Some interest this morning on Carolina, starting to see some 3.5 even money here, so the Panthers are getting bet.
Yeah, I don't see how you can. You know, I was back and forth on this game, right? I wanted to take – I love Tennessee. I think this, though. Let's throw out all the Vrabel numbers, because with Will Levis at quarterback, you can't go by the numbers, right? Vrabel is a home favorite, all that. Because Levis is so inconsistent in terms of being able to have success operating the offense. And so that, to me, is the issue. And then Carolina, you know, if there's ever going to be a game where Bryce Young can throw the football effectively, it's against a very bad Tennessee secondary. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as much as I wanted to take Tennessee here, I just had a hard time with it.
Well, Michael, the top 2 Circa Survivor selections for today, Titans number 1 with 46 entries, Patriots number 2 with 36 entries. This is a hold on to your butt
Sunday.
Hold on. Hold on for dear life, man. This is going to be something. The Vikings were number 3 with 32 entries. They play the Bears Monday night. All right, we'll get to Michael Lombardi's power ratings and top 5 quarterbacks and bottom 5 quarterbacks as well next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's so much to be thankful for: family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, Week 12 NFL Sunday. Femi Abebefe here in downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Actives and inactives are starting to pour in. We'll get you some of those information, key guys who are out or key guys who are in, when we run down the board coming up in the next segment to wrap up the show here. But Michael, let's get to your power ratings here as we get set to kick off Week 12 of the Sunday slate. And your number one team is a team that we saw Thanksgiving night, the San Francisco 49ers, who absolutely look phenomenal after the 3-game losing streak. They've gotten right back on track. They are number one.
You know, I mean, look, their numbers and what the key elements of the 18 categories that I use to set up my lines and my model, they're really good in those areas. And I think that that's one of the reasons why Philadelphia, for, you know, we grade Philly's wins now. We've become the Olympics. We want to grade wins as opposed to just, did you win or did you lose? I mean, it's really not that complicated. Dallas, Kansas City, Baltimore, all good. Detroit, these numbers were done before the Thursday games. To me, Detroit will slip a little bit. Miami, as I've been saying for a long time here now, Miami is a team that's built. I know they scored 30-some points against the Jets, but, you know, the defense scored some of those points. Miami's offense is not the same. They can't really run the football as effectively as they did. And once you take away that one look from Tua, who, even though you're not allowed to say he's not an MVP candidate, you know, it becomes a little bit of an issue. Buffalo, to me, continues to slide. Houston comes up. Seattle, Jacksonville, Minnesota, they're all kind of intertwined in that same area. Seattle and 10, they're going to move down again. Obviously, they've gave up a lot of yards to San Francisco. Seattle's an interesting team because situationally they'll play well. They're in the they're not bad in any area, but they're not great in any area. And some of these teams just take some tremendous hits, like Pittsburgh offensively or Cincinnati defensively or Green Bay, you know, offensively until the last couple weeks. I suspect Green Bay will move up fairly well because of their offensive output the last 3 weeks.
You know, it's interesting with these power rankings because, like, I think the conversation that they have is that how much do you rate the kind of metric stuff versus what the actual results are? Because I think a lot of people would be like, wow, Seattle's at 10. We saw them lose to the Rams and we saw them get embarrassed, quite frankly, on Thanksgiving night there. It's like, how do you kind of weight the two of those with what's going on in the underlying stuff with what's actually happening with the results?
Well, like you take, for example, like we talked about a game that I want no parts of, New England, the Giants. That game, to me, my line for that game is 2, which makes it an automatic play for the Giants. I can't do that. You know, I'm just, to me, you know, that doesn't make any sense, right? I'm out. Whereas, like, the Raider-Kansas City game, I have that at 9.34. You know, it's down to 8.5. Is that a play? Well, there's some room. Chicago, Minnesota is another game. You know, it's 4.55. That's my line for the game. The line's down to 3. Now, Chicago, a lot of their numbers don't have Justin Fields' rush game in it. So you have to be a little bit of careful. And then what my numbers don't account for and why you just can't say, okay, play this team, is the last 4 weeks matter in the numbers, right? The last 4 weeks are really what a team's doing. You've got to pay such a close attention to how a team has performed over the last 4 weeks. Are they getting better? What area are they deficient in? What area are they improving in? What area have they not come through? And how is their quarterback playing? And frankly, who is their quarterback, right? Like Baltimore Chargers, I should be all over that at 3. I like Baltimore. I really do. I mean, I have that as a 5.5-point game. And that should be one of my plays because I don't see Baltimore losing that game.
I guess, my only gripe with your power rankings would be in that top 5. I would have Niners at 1. I think I'd go Baltimore 2, KC 3, Philly 4, Dallas 5.
You're doing it subjectively. You're doing it based on your 4-game Femi watching the game. I'm doing it based on numbers. So there's no bias in my numbers. Like, I there's no bias. So to me, one of the keys to betting is to remove 4-game Femi, to remove 4-game Big Daddy. You can't let bias come in because it doesn't allow you to look at the numbers. So I just take that out of it. I take it out of it. Now, where I get messed up is when I take these numbers and I put them over and they come up with a line, that's when I get involved in 4-game Femi, 4-game Michael, 4-game Big Daddy. That's what I get involved. And then I rely on my grandsons, Leo and Dino. Yeah. I mean, I ask them for help, you know, because it becomes a little bit more difficult, right? Yeah. So that's what it is. I think you have to take bias out of it, Femi. I think you can't, none of us are good enough to rank them in order. And I learned from a statistical professor at Cal that there's not really 1 through 32. There's clusters. And you're either in the cluster or you're not.
Yeah, tiers is what we like to do. Had I asked Leo what my survivor play should have been week 2, I might still be in this thing.
You might be in the game. You know, between him and Dino and Dominic, the king, they might be able to tell you. They give you some help on that. I get their picks every week. Hell, I just got Leo's top 5 quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, he's got Trevor Lawrence in the top 5. I mean, God bless him, you know. So maybe you might want to play the Jags today.
Well, let's get to your top 5 here for the quarterbacks. 1 being Patrick Mahomes for the Kansas City Chiefs. 2, though, Brock Purdy, who right now leads the NFL in QBR and the EPA per play, all the underlying metric stuff. Purdy is 1 in those stats.
It's a tragedy. I had somebody in the league, a head coach in the league, saying there's no way they would trade Purdy for Tua. Like, and the media out there, the perception is that Tua is 10 times better. Purdy is so paying a price for being the guy who beat out Trey Lance and beating a 7th round pick. Like, at some point, when do we say the guy's really good? At some point, when do we say it? I think Dak's played really well. I don't care about, well, he hasn't played against a good team. Okay, you know, I get that. C.J. Stroud continues to play well, home and away. From the opening game, really, against Baltimore, he played well in that game. He just couldn't get the ball in the end zone. They had three drives of over 10 plays in the opening game. He's improved. And Lamar, to me, is the wild card, right? Lamar is, you know, everybody, well, he can't turn the ball over in the fourth quarter. I mean, this is a team that hasn't played from behind most of the season in Baltimore.
So right now, obviously, when you look at the MVP market there, Purdy is like around like 20 to 1, 18 to 1 or so. These other guys are having shorter odds than him, even CJ Stroud included. Like Stroud, everyone's talked about him. Purdy, the way he's been playing, I think if they beat the Eagles next week, I think the MVP conversation actually gets real for Brock Purdy, just the way how
it should. It really should. I mean, how is Tua plus 500 in the MVP? Like, has anybody watched the last four or five games of Miami's offense? Look, I think Miami's a really good team that are going to have to rely on their defense. But in terms of people now, and if you took to me, Tyreek Hill belongs in the conversation. Take a guess, Femi. I asked Stormy this the other day. Take a guess. How many first down percentage passing has Tyreek Hill been responsible for in the Miami offense?
I'd say roughly around like 35-40%.
40%, exactly.
40%.
When he gets thrown the ball 40% of the time, it's a first down. So, like, to me, he's impossible. When he leaves the field, the defensive coordinator, for him not to be in the conversation is really, I mean, the guy's going to set the record in terms of yards, and there's no one as good as Sauce Gardner is. He can't cover him, even with his length. You know, one of the things when you have a long corner like Sauce Gardner, you don't worry about he runs well. Gardner runs really well. But the length adds more speed to the time because he's so long and it's harder to get the ball over. But Hill just outran that length. He just outruns all the length. I mean, you can't even get a good shot on him. The fact that we won't even talk about Hill as an MVP candidate is wrong. Same thing with Purdy. Like, what more does Purdy have to do? Oh, he threw an interception against Seattle. Tua threw two at the end of the first half, one for a pick six. Nobody says a word. I mean, they're on TV talking about Tua being he makes this everything go. No, Hill makes everything go.
It's position bias is what it is, unfortunately. Like receivers.
Well, it's also, there's also there's a narrative bias too. We see that. Come on. Come on, there's a narrative bias. Nobody wants to give Purdy credit for being great. Nobody wants to say it because he's narrative. A seventh round pick and how could he be great? You know, I mean, you know, it's just, but then when he do become great, okay, well, you know, the only win because you have Purdy. Think about it. Kyle only won with Garoppolo and Purdy. How many other quarterbacks has he not won with?
Hasn't been good in San Francisco when those guys aren't behind center, but luckily for them, Purdy's been playing awesome, and the team is awesome. Let's get to your bottom five quarterbacks. These guys aren't awesome, starting with number 28, Mac Jones.
Well, I mean, look, you can jumble and mumble. He's going to start today. I don't see him to me. Mac just turns the ball over and makes horrible decisions. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, got to protect the football. Jake Browning, I know he finished sixth in the Heisman his senior year. It's going to be a challenge for him, you know, against a good Pittsburgh defense. And then which one do you want to pick, 31? DeVito, or do you want to take Timmy Boyle, who's coming back next week? Or, you know, I mean, why is Aaron Rodgers even coming back for momentum for next season? Are we kidding ourselves? This is not good.
I love the graphic that our crew put up. This put up the MetLife Stadium logo for 31 and 32. All right, we'll run the board to wrap up the show next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Betsgiving is back. All of VSiN's hosts, writers, and analysts are competing in a week-long competition to see who is the best bettor at VSiN. Follow all the bets and leaderboard at VSiN.com or go to the DK Sportsbook app, select social, then betting groups, where you'll be able to join our Betsgiving group to follow all the action. Welcome back. This is the final segment here of the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Brett Musburger's countdown to kickoff will be following us at the top of the hour as he will lead you all the way up until kickoff here of the early slate. Six games in this early window, 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific time. Michael, we've gotten to it now. Time for us to go ahead and give our final thoughts on all the games that we have today. Let's go ahead and run down the board, starting in Houston with the AFC South. The Jaguars, 1.5 point road favorites, total sitting at 48.
You know, I'm going to go with the Texans here. I think, to me, it's an unofficial play. I like the Texans at home. I think they're good in the kicking game. I think the last time they played, the kicking game really was the difference in this game, and the fact that Houston started off with a 17-0 halftime lead. I think Lawrence struggles against this zone coverage. Last time Houston beat them, Houston's offensive line wasn't very good, and they still moved the football effectively. I'll take the Texans and with the point at home dog.
Yeah, that was a crazy game last time with those special teams errors from the Jags that blocked the kick. Then we had the tight end or fullback that ran one back for a touchdown on a kick return. It was a wild game down there in Jacksonville. We'll see if it's wild in Houston. How about let's go to Indianapolis, the Buccaneers road dogs against the Colts over at DraftKings. It was 3 earlier when we were doing the show. The 3 has been taken away. It's now back to 2.5, total 45.
They're never going to give you that 3. They're going to make you pay a tax on the 2.5. I like the Bucs here. I like the Bucs as a pick here. I think the Bucs defensively will struggle, but they can put pressure on Minshew. And I think that the Bucs offense is a little better, especially against a zone team. Mayfield should be able to have some success here. The Bucs are good on the road. I'll take the Bucs as a dog with the points.
A lot of injury news in the Patriots and the New York Giants. Right now, the Giants are 4.5 point home dogs, total 35.5. No Dexter Lawrence for Big Blue. That's a big loss there. Devontae Parker, healthy and active for New England. We still don't know who's going to start at quarterback. We think it's Mac Jones, but we're not going to find out until 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific.
Well, it'd be Mac Jones, I think. And, you know, look, I'll take the Patriots here. I think the Patriots, when the Patriots can run the ball on teams, and they'll run the ball without Dexter Lawrence in there. Now they don't have Dexter Lawrence. They don't have Leonard Williams. I mean, Martindale's going to want to try to blitz, and the Patriots are fairly smart to get the ball out. I just don't know how DeVito can move the ball consistently against them. Minshew struggled. He scored 10 points against them, and they won. So I'll take the Patriots and lay the 4.5.
The Titans are 3.5 point home favorites against the Carolina Panthers, total 36.
I want to take the Titans here. I really do. Russo took the Titans, so I'm rooting for the Panthers. So since Russo took the Titans, I'll take the Panthers here. This is a no play for me. I mean, New England was a no play for me too. But I'll take the – I mean, look, this line is moving to 3. You better grab it now. It's going to get to 3 pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game. That's another one that I said that can fall into the Hall & Oates category as well. That's a no play for me. I'll watch it, and we'll figure out what happens. Pittsburgh taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Steelers, 2.5 point road favorites, total 36.5. It'll be Jake Browning's first start for the Bengals.
I like Pittsburgh here. I think Pittsburgh's offense will run the ball. If they protect the ball, I think it's going to be an opportunity for them to make plays. Cincinnati will struggle. Browning will be under pressure. For me, this game's all about what will Zach Taylor do with his offense without Joe Burrow. That's going to be the key. If he runs the same offense that he ran with Joe Burrow, this could get ugly.
Yeah, that's a game that definitely could get ugly there. Jake Browning, good luck, buddy. That Steelers defense definitely is coming out there ready to play. The Saints are 2-point road favorites in Atlanta, total 42 here in this NFC South clash.
I'm going to take Atlanta, and, you know, call me crazy. I know it's, you know, it's a low-ticket, high-money count here. I just think the Falcons can throw the ball. Lattimore's on IR. Carr's coming back off the concussion. You know, can he play well in a close game? I'm a little concerned there. Atlanta needs this one. Atlanta's got a team that should be in this. They get any production, and Ritter's 4-0 ATS against the South. So I'm going to take the Falcons officially and take the 2 as a home dog.
You're not crazy. You're fading Dennis Allen and Derek Carr. You're not crazy at all. I use the Falcons actually in a teaser as a part of Bet's Giving, which we encourage everyone to go ahead and check out over there on the vsin.com page and also on the DraftKings Sportsbook app there. So I have the Falcons in the teaser. I'll reveal the other teaser leg when we get to that game. But I have Atlanta teased up to 7.5. Carr and Allen are not going to blow this game open. I find that hard to believe. Let's go to the desert. The Rams are now 3-point road favorites, taking on the Cardinals, total 45.
You know, this line flipped. It went from the Cards favorite because we weren't sure about Stafford to the Rams. I still like the Rams. I gave it out on Russo at -1. Now it's up to 3. I think McVay in this situation is usually pretty good. I think Raheem Morris in this situation is very good. And if he keeps Murray in the pocket without, you know, without some of the ways that Murray wants to run around and make plays, I think this will be an opportunity for the Rams to move the ball. When the Rams can run the football, they are a better offense.
Full agreement for me. I gave this out on Wednesday with VSiN Primetime with Mike Palm and Jared Smith there. That was when it was a pick 'em. I said I like the Rams at anything under a field goal. There's still some expensive 2.5s out there if you shop around, but sitting at 3 is probably a pass. But if you can still find a 2.5, I would lay the Rams in this spot against the Cardinals. Let's go to the Rocky Mountains where the Broncos short home favorites. 1.5 points is our spread, total 37.5.
I'm going to take the Broncos here. I think it's going to be really hard for, you know, there's certain situations where you just can't win games strictly on your defense. You're going to have to move the football. The Browns offensive line is going to have to perform well on the road in Mile High with a rookie quarterback. You're going to have to take a little bit more chances. I'll take the Broncos. I think it'll be a close game. I think the under is certainly still in play here. I like the Broncos.
Yeah, but I don't have a play in this game. I'm rooting for the Broncos because I have a ticket on them to make the playoffs. I just say that this is one of those games to where if you like Denver, maybe play that money line price of -125 because I think a lower scoring game, higher chance this actually lands on one. And it's a sick feeling when you lay 1.5 and the Broncos win by one. That's not something that you want to feel here on a Sunday in week 12. Let's go to the city of brotherly love where the Eagles will be wearing those Kelly green unis. I do not like the Eagles as a Cowboys fan, but I absolutely love those jerseys there. All the nostalgia behind them. Philadelphia 3-point home favorites, total 49 as are taking on the Buffalo Bills.
I'm going to take Philly here. I think Philly's the better team. I think Buffalo's a tad overrated. I know we're all excited about their big win against the Jets, but you know this Buffalo team has struggled on the road, and I think Philly will be a tough team to play. I know they're coming off a short week, but I believe that Philly can run the ball and out-muscle Buffalo. I'll take Philly in a close game.
Sensing a little tongue-in-cheek there, the big win against the New York Jets or the Buffalo.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way we react. I mean... Remember, I mean, look, there were people taking the Jets in that game. Remember? Yeah. Oh, it went to 6.5. I mean, there was action on the Jets in that game. Buffalo was the vulnerable team. I mean, this Jet team, for whatever, I mean, we were talking Jet playoffs 2 weeks ago, Femi.
Not me.
I mean, how ridiculous is this? I mean, after they beat the Giants and Tommy DeVito 13-10, we were talking about them being a playoff team. I mean, this team should almost be in contention for the first pick in the draft. They may not win another game.
It's a tough hill that the Jets have to climb the rest of the season here. Let's go to the Vegas Raiders. They're taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City, a 9-point road favorite, total 42.5. Still uncertain of whether Max Crosby will play, but he's pushing to play.
Well, I'm sure he's going to try to go. Whether he can play good enough, that's going to be a separate issue because, you know, if he can't push off that, I think the Chiefs get their act together. They will not go scoreless in the second half. I took the Chiefs on Russo this weekend. I think the Raiders will play hard, but they've got a lot of injuries. Spillane, Crosby, Epps. I think that's going to be a challenge for them. How do they score on this really good Chief defense? And how do they block Chris Jones? They couldn't block him last year. It's going to be hard to block him this year. So if they can't get that run game going, how does Aiden O'Connell throw it 40 times without making a mistake as a pure rookie? I think it's the Chiefs here, and I think the Chiefs play well, and they win.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement with you. I laid 9. Even if Crosby plays, he's not going to be 100%. I also use this as the second leg of my teaser. So it's the Falcons up to +7.5, Kansas City down to 2.5 here with the 6-point teaser for bets giving. That is my play there. The final game, Sunday Night Football, Ravens at the Chargers. Baltimore 3-point favorites, total 48.
I love the Ravens here. I didn't give it to Elliott as an official pick, but you can make it as an official. My spread was 5.5. I think this is when Lamar Jackson on national TV, and I think the Ravens will come out and play really well. And I think it'll probably be a close game, but the second half struggles that the Chargers have had and their inability to throw the football down the field and make chunk plays. If you take Keenan Allen, where are they going with the football? I like Baltimore a lot here.
Yeah, no play for me here. Maybe this is a last stand game for the Chargers. Who knows? But I could see this going either way. It's just a pass. And I'll just enjoy the football game and maybe a live betting opportunity will present itself. We got 30 seconds left, Michael. What do you think is going to be the big story out of today's games?
Well, if Buffalo wins, it'll be Buffalo's back. If Philly wins, it'll be Philly's going to the Super Bowl. And we will start greasing the poles here in Philadelphia as San Francisco comes to town. If New England loses to Tommy DeVito, it'll be when will the end of Bill Belichick occur?
Yeah, no, those are definitely the storylines. Just to recap, your Week 12 picks, Falcons plus 2, Denver laying 1.5, and the Chiefs laying 8.5.
And you could add Baltimore in there. We didn't have time to put it up on the graphic, but you could put Baltimore in there too.
Ravens laying 3, Sunday Night Football. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. Brent Musburger's countdown to kickoff is coming up next here on the DraftKings Network.